Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hey everybody, tonight we're back with a new episode of Speedway Soccer. We break down the results from the last three matches and talk about what we might see transpiring after the bye week. Stay tuned and listen. This is Speedway Soccer Pod. Welcome back into another episode of Speedway Soccer. I'm Davey Shepherd here tonight with Jonathan Slape and Ben Wright. We are on the Beautiful Game Network, brought to you by Golden Gold Press and Roughneck Scarves. And most importantly, new announcement, guys, this is really exciting. We are on the 104.5 The Zone podcast network, brought to you by Hiller. We're super, super excited to be joining that team. Ben, Jonathan, any kind of thoughts on what it means for us to be joining that network?
Yeah, I mean, really the big thing is, you know, we started this about a year and a half ago. And as a way, we wanted to bring in both new fans and old fans and, you know, increase the conversation of soccer in Nashville. And I think, you know, with what we've had with Beautiful Game Network, especially connecting us with, you know, other podcasters that cover the USL outside of Nashville has been helpful for us. But we're also looking forward to, you know, the increased visibility, increased distribution with the people in Nashville, especially as, you know, this team continues to grow as we move toward MLS.
Yeah, I agree on all that. I think it's just going to help us. What we're doing on a day-to-day basis isn't going to change. But it's going to give us more broader access to more people and give us more access to the team. So I think you're going to be able to hopefully see better content from us and just a further reach.
Yeah, I think the best thing was on the tweet from 104.5, the guy just replies, 104.5 at Speedway Soccer. Meh, is all he said. And that's the guy we want to win over to be a soccer fan. So I mean, my goal is to get...
He's not wrong, is he?
Exactly. To get Scott Sullivan or whatever his name was on Twitter to become an NSC fan is like my only goal from now forward. So the more types of people like that who just want to give the game a thought before, we want to loop them in, at least make them aware of it. So again, we're grateful to 104.5, and we just think the more coverage of soccer, the better, and to have the number one sports station in town taking it seriously means a lot to us, obviously, but we think should mean a lot to fans of the game in general. So with that, we'll get down to business and kind of start looking at it. Guys, three separate results, a draw, a loss, and a win. And we're going to start chronologically, which happens to be the win, a 1-0 win over Birmingham Legion. Goal wasn't from a free run of play, right? We scored on a penalty?
Yeah, it was a penalty from Alan Wynn. Penalty won by Alan Wynn, but it was taken by Daniel Rios.
There you go. So let's kind of start by unpackaging that one. That's an away game midweek, just down the road. That's one that would have been awesome if it was scheduled on a weekend. I feel like a lot of people would have maybe made that trip down that didn't because it was midweek. But we go down to Birmingham, get a win that right now is looking pretty valuable at this point in time. Ben, your thoughts?
I think it was not a very exciting game to watch. I mean, two out of the three were pretty actually frustrating to watch, but I think especially this one, Birmingham just set up to defend. And I think they kind of went into the game just hoping to get a point. And so, I mean, they limited Nashville to six shots. And so Nashville just had a lot of trouble breaking them down, but I mean, they found a way to win. And I think a lot of times good teams are able to find ways to win even when they haven't put in their best performance, and at least in this game, Nashville was able to come away with 3 points.
Yeah, so I know there was a complaint from a lot of people online, and you know, throughout the media that maybe wasn't the most exciting game, but I mean, it was a game that I was that I enjoyed. It definitely wasn't pretty. I was surprised when looking at the stats that Birmingham actually outshot us 8-6. But I mean, we had some decent chances early. We got to see, I mean, Belmar almost had one that he should have finished from the beginning. But I think one of the biggest takeaways from that game was, you know, the continuation of the 4-2-3-1. We saw LaGrassa, I mean, with Akinyode and Reed holding LaGrassa out there, you know, in the 10. I thought he did a really good job throughout the game. And then Alan Wynn, who, you know, at times I have been frustrated with him with some of his end product. You know, to get that goal, he ran at a defender that was actually a forward that was playing at center back in that three-man back line. But he did a really good job building throughout the game of making some dangerous runs, taking some dangerous, you know, take-ons. And, you know, really influencing the game and eventually winning that penalty.
Yeah, you know, they did outshoot us 8-6. But if you look at the XG from the match, they're at 0.65, where Nashville is at 1.2. So it seems like some of that was kind of meaningless. And Ben, I don't know if you want to expound there some.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that was skewed a bit by the penalty kick, which is worth like I'm off the top of my head, it's like 0.76. So in reality, okay. Nashville's XG was closer to 0.4.
Okay.
Yeah. So the penalty kick's a little bit misleading, but I mean, it was definitely a game where Birmingham sat back and tried to keep Nashville off the score sheet. And Nashville had a lot of possession in pretty dangerous areas and just had trouble breaking down Birmingham. But I think, like Slave said, credit to Alan Wynn. He picked up the ball, in midfield and made a really good run to earn the penalty kick. And I think he's been a huge piece of this team's attacking play since he came into the starting lineup a couple weeks ago.
So moving along, if people thought the 1-0 win away was not that interesting, the 0-0 draw away would probably fall into that category as well. We headed up to Indianapolis on Saturday and came away a week ago, yes, and came up with a 0-0 draw at Indy 11. Look, I'm going to say all things considered, getting a draw there and I think that's a fairly good result, regardless of where they're at in the table, because it's just a team who absolutely had our number last year. So, to me, that means something, and I know there's so much roster turnover in USL, so it's not really the same team. But they're a team that went out and made strong signings to an already strong side, just like we did last year. Yes, they're having trouble getting some traction, but I think they beat us 2-0 away, 2-1 away last year, and 3-0 at home last year. To go up there and get a result, I was pretty happy with. That's a good point on the road. Now, was it disappointing to not score a goal? Of course. But at the end of the day, I think that was an okay performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most interesting things we saw going with the Indy game was the departure. We touched on with the, you know, with the Birmingham game, with the continuation of the 4-2-3-1. But we went to with this game, we went back to the, you know, the 3-5-2 and at times a 5-3-2 against Indy. We saw some guys that hadn't gotten some starting appearances, like Rapapa Mensa, Tucker Hume got out there. And then also Derek Jones for the first time, his first start in the league.
So, yeah, I mean, from Gary Smith's comments post-match, I mean, he was pretty happy with the draw. And I mean, Indy hasn't allowed a goal at home. And I think Nashville kind of set up to, I think, basically just to keep a clean sheet. And then anything extra other than a draw was kind of just a bonus at that point. They had chances. I mean, Tucker Hume had a couple of really good chances and just wasn't able to put them on target. But I think overall, a draw in Indy is a fairly good result for Nashville. And I think Gary Smith also rested some players like Rios and Belmar and Wynn with an eye towards the Open Cup. And I mean, he was able to still come away with a point. So I think it was a positive result overall for Nashville.
Yeah, and I'll kind of just agree with Slape. I think getting Jones injected into the starting lineup so soon is awesome. I think I've just been really, really thrilled with what we've seen from him so far. And I think that guy is an MLS number six, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've just been super impressed with his performances and just the sheer size of the guy. I mean, I think a lot of people think Boldu is bigger than he is because he looks pretty imposing out there and plays pretty imposing. But you see him standing next to Derek Jones and you like, oh, no, this guy is big. So really happy with his performance. And that's the kind of guy who in a 0-0 draw on the road against a pretty decent team that you haven't had a lot of luck against, that's the kind of guy you need in the starting lineup to anchor things. And I was really happy to see his performance. And again, no one wants to watch 0-0 draws. We get that. None of us are saying that it's totally cool that we're not scoring goals. But a clean sheet and a draw against a rival like that on the road, it's a good result. So
yeah, I mean, it wasn't pretty, but it was. I mean, it's a point on the road against a top team, and that's not something I'm ever gonna, you know, be completely disappointed in. I mean, there may be some frustration in how it happened. I feel like a scored draw for most people is a little bit people would enjoy. Like, it's easier to swallow rather than a 0-0. But I'm again, you know, like we've talked about it. We talked about it at the beginning of the season. This is a team that had our number last year.
So continuing down the path of more and more frustration, we arrive at last night's Open Cup match against Charleston Battery FC, hosted in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. 1-1 at the end of regulation, 1-1 at the end of extra time, and Nashville goes down 0-3 on penalties. So we'll get to penalties here in a while. Ben, you said before the match you thought it was as strong of a side as NSC could have started. You stand by that?
Yeah, I think right now that's their best 11. I'm not sure how that changes when Cameron Lancaster comes back. But yeah, I think that's the best team they could have put out.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think it had guys in danger areas. I think it kind of leveraged kind of our best players. Look, I think Tribbett and Doyle have been great. I still think we can be slightly immobile at center back. And I like when we can get Brad on the field to kind of add that there. But aside from the play leading kind of to the goal, I thought Doyle and Tribbett did a pretty good job. I don't think any huge surprises in the starting lineup. Reed not starting was maybe expected after he didn't practice there in midweek. Kind of seeing that, I think Jones is the clear-cut guy at the number six now. We're all huge Boldu Akinyode fans, but would both of you agree with me with that Jones has kind of grabbed that spot?
Yeah, I think I'm still a big Akinyode fan, but I think one of the things that Jones adds is he adds a bit more going forward to his game than Boldu does. I mean, we saw last year Akinyode, he had, you know, the one goal last year, which was, I mean, it was an important
big time goal
against Cincinnati. But there is a little bit more of an offensive, you know, spark there. But just kind of touching on, you know, best lineup that we can put out there. I also thought the lineup that we put out is a tactically flexible lineup. You know, it could be a 4-2-3-1. It could be a 4-4-2. You have a bit of flexibility, and I like the contrast between LaGrosse and Jones there in the middle.
Yeah, going back to Slape, just your point on Akinyode, I think he's still an important player, but I think he's. There's just not really a natural place for him in this system, because when you play a 4-2-3-1, you need both of the central midfielders to kind of almost be number eights who can go box to box and take turns defending and attacking. And I think Akinyode is pretty much a pure number six. So I think he'd be better in maybe a three-man midfield setup. But yeah, I think Derek Jones, just what we've seen from him, he's able to receive the ball in traffic and shield it and hold off defenders really well. And then get upfield under pressure and pick out a pass. And I think he just has a range of passing and kind of an aggressiveness with his passing that we just haven't seen yet. And I think he'll be pretty important going forward. It was, I think, a big turning point in the game is when he came off injured. I think around the 60th minute was when he got hurt. So it'll
it's
be
pretty early in the second half.
that'll be one to keep an eye on if he can come back. Gary Smith after the game said that he rolled his ankle, so that could potentially be a game that keeps him out at least for a week or so.
Yeah, no, he came off in the 58th. Just one last thing on a potential Akinyode Jones partnership is I think one thing that, you know, Akinyode is hurt with is the fact that we don't have a true number 10 and somebody really creative in the center of the field. And that's not a knock on any of the other guys at all. But I think if we had someone that was just a bit more creative and that we could rely on solely, that you could play a midfield two in that 4-2-3-1 of Jones and Akinyode. But just unfortunately, we just don't have that player.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. And I really, really agree with what you said, is that I think Bolu is just a pure number six, and I think he excels there. And I truly think he's an MLS talent as a pure number six. Where I think Jones is different is I think Jones has the top end to be an eight. And if Jones is your six in a true three-man midfield, like, watch out, because he can do both sides of the job really, really well. I think the big difference going forward between him and Bolu is that he makes more runs forward, yeah, with the ball at his feet instead of just throwing the ball over the top. I think Bolu's passing has improved a lot, but Jones is willing to go forward with the ball, which I think is nice. So let's get to the game in general. We got off to a start where I think we had a lot of control of the game for the first 15 to 20 minutes, but you kind of saw Charleston grow into it, and Nikku Daly is able to take a pretty good pass, put in a lot of effort to fight off some defenders, and really kind of just make a decent run, good finish, beats Sparrow far post, and kind of just like that, against the run of play, they're up 1-0. Ben, your thoughts on the goal?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good run by Daly, I think it was just sloppy defending. I think a lot of players just kind of ball watching and assuming that someone else would make the tackle. And then I think it was Tribbett who actually got the tackle in on him. And I think he just didn't realize how fast Daly was moving and just was caught off balance. So, I mean, it was definitely a frustrating goal to give up, but really it was kind of an isolated incident, at least in the first half from Charleston. Other than that goal, they really weren't able to create a ton.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a solid defensive performance, I really think, out of Nashville, other than that play. Now, look, they had a few decent chances towards the end of the match, especially in extra time, but the game was so stretched and legs were so tired at that point in time, it's kind of hard to blame them. After that, I think we grabbed a hold of the game again. I think you saw a decent amount of fire. It looked to me like the guys really, really want, and that's not a critique saying they don't want to win every game, but to kind of see that like scrap right before halftime where wind got drugged down from the back and guys are kind of in each other's face, kind of ready to fight, that's a different level of intensity that we haven't seen out of the team so far this season. And I think it takes a do or die game like this to bring it out, especially a team who got the better of you last time in a way that you really think they shouldn't have. Had a good few good chances. Rios, Maloto, I think maybe even Wynn as well, all had decent chances right before the half.
Oh, no. Are you going?
Yeah, right before the half. And, look, the story of the night is going to just be chances that weren't converted. We had 26 total shots. Only 5 of them were on goal. That is just kind of speaks to the lack of finishing that plagued the team last night. We're going to get into kind of philosophically the game here in a little bit, but that kind of just is the testament to it. Coming out of the second half, we had the Jones injury early, which I think changed the substitution strategy for Coach Smith. I think it kind of affected what he was hoping to do. In fact, I think Hume was warming up and ready to come on first. He ended up coming on last. And then as soon as Jones was injured, like-for-like substitution, they put Reed out there, who I think played really, really well coming off the bench last night. I was really happy with his performance. He took one on that kind of made the goalie squirrely. I like to see him take those shots. LaGrassa did the same thing a couple of times. Again, chance after chance after chance in the second half. Rapapa comes on. I think a good substitution at that point in time.
The one thing that was another substitution that was forced by injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rios went down because I don't think Gary would have made, I don't think he would have taken off another attacker for Mensah. I think they would have done some changes, you know, on the wing.
Yeah.
I think that's a situation where you don't want your best, you don't want to be taking your best finisher off when you need a goal in the 68th, in the 68th minute.
Yeah, he came over, received some treatment about 5 minutes before they made that substitution. So I agree that probably had something to do with it. Rapapa comes on, Wynn played him into space. I think it was just onside, but it was pretty close. Rapapa gets into an acre of space on the side. Really, really good cross across goal, super dangerous ball. And honestly, I thought it was defended pretty well. I thought the guy did just enough to keep Belmar off of it. But really, really good work from Belmar. In my opinion, in a game where he didn't have his best stuff last night, I think Wynn was the better wide player. But Belmar does the work, gets in there tight, hard performance, gets a goal, and I think it was well deserved. Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think he was just barely onside. We didn't get a great angle of it on the broadcast, so it's kind of hard to tell. But I mean, it was, I think it kind of fits what Gary Smith has been saying, that he really thinks Mintz's future is kind of on the wing. And that's where he's played most of his minutes this season. And I think he's kind of turning into a guy who can get in behind the defense and put in a decent ball into the box. So yeah, I mean, it was a good goal. And you kind of, at that point, you kind of expected, okay, Nashville finally broke through and now they're going to go and get a second and a third potentially and just put this game away.
Yeah, and the chances were absolutely there to do that. There was, I think, two to three ample chances to finish the game, win it. And probably the most obvious one was Wynn's header across goal that he started celebrating. He was so sure it was going in the net. Man, it was just, look, sometimes you're just going to have those nights where the gods aren't on your side, whatever you want to call it, right? Just extremely unfortunate that it was last night in a do or die match. Clearly we weren't able to get the goal before regulation. We headed to extra time, kind of exchanged chances back and forth. Not a ton really going forward for either team in extra time.
There was a couple chances, you know. Tucker Hume had a chance, I believe, in the second half of
end of the second half.
Yeah.
First half of regulation.
Yeah, it's end of the first half of regulation. There's that Sparrow yellow card that he gets when he kind of flies out. And there was a couple Sparrow instances throughout the game that were a little concerning. There was one at the end of the first half, I mean, of the second half of regulation, where he came out and kind of flapped at a ball and took out the defender. And then there was that kind of a reckless challenge that the angle on the broadcast wasn't great, so you couldn't really see, was it inside, was it outside? But I mean, it was a tough tackle.
Being that I was in the box last night, to me, just first chance seeing it, I thought it was outside of the box, and I thought Davis had it covered. So I think the ref really did get it right. But if you look at the video, it's pretty damn close to on the line. So that's another game that just a different referee calls it exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. Red card, penalty, game over.
Or if it's like Bethlehem last year, it's 3 feet outside the box, exactly, and he gives it a penalty.
Sparrow, there was a few things there in the kind of extra time finishes with that attempt that a header, he makes a save, guy collects it, crossbar, and then thank God the whistle blows, because they were really in some dangerous places.
Charleston hit the crossbar right at the end of regulation as well.
Yeah.
They had some great chances right there at the end.
The one sub I would love to say I think had a really good impact on the game, especially as time grew late, was Taylor Washington. I think the later that game got up that left side, especially in the second overtime, he was in so much space. And I just want to see that guy given opportunities there. I think he was really, really good. I still think he's, in my opinion, I think he offers just more going forward than Justin Davis. I think Gary likes Davis for his set piece delivery. But Washington, I think, kind of acquitted himself well last night. So I was really happy with his performance. Performance that nobody was happy with, chief of all the players in the team, was losing in penalties 0-3. Two saves and then a miss off the crossbar. We had a chance with new life. I think it was Van Schaik put a ball over.
Yep.
And then Lebo missed as well. And Svantonsson comes out and puts the game away. Sparrow got a hand to it, but wasn't strong enough. And that was it. 3-0 on penalties. I guess as bad as you could draw up a penalty loss, right?
We can kind of maybe take a little bit of a more, esoteric existential look at, you know, not just the penalty shootout, but the game as a whole. Just from a mentality standpoint, there has to be some questions being asked. You know, Nashville has never won a game when they have conceded a goal first, and they have never they only have four wins when they even concede a goal, period. So there just has to be some conversation of, you know, what are those mental, you know, hurdles or those mental blocks with some of these players that we're seeing that, you know, aren't able to come back when down, or they, you know, there's an instances of some late goals, some, you know, last minute draws, and then, you know, the throw the penalties from last night on top of that.
Yep. Well, listen, why don't we kind of talk more big picture here in just a second after the break. We'll be back in just a second. Look at big picture, what's going on with this team, where we're headed, and what we hope to see after the break. We'll be back in a few. This is Speedway Soccer.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your team or group at roughneckscarves.com. And also by Taylor Street Coffee and Tea. Taylor Street Coffee and Tea is a new family-owned coffee shop tucked away in Germantown, serving coffee from Crema Coffee Roasters and tea from Firepot Nomadic Teas. Check them out at 100 Taylor Street, Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. They're located inside an art collective building, so check out their Instagram page to find them, at Taylor Street Coffee. Drop by, drink up.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into Speedway Soccer. So before the break, Slate brought up the idea that this team has really, really struggled in matches where it has conceded a goal first and, in general, conceded goals. Ben, you kind of put together a stat tweet thread earlier. Why don't you bring that up so we can just kind of give the stats on it? And our goal here isn't to go ultra negative, but we think it would be dishonest not to kind of broach this subject because it's so apparent when the team goes down a goal that getting a result is likely not going to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, so just in general, when Nashville have conceded at any point in the game, they've only won 4 games. They've drawn 12 and lost 15. I know of those 4 wins, 2 have come this season. One of them was against Swope Park, who were, I think, second to last in the Eastern Conference, and then in the Open Cup against USL League 2 side. So just that on its own is a concerning stat. I think even more concerning is the fact that they've never come back and won a game from a goal down. They've lost 15 and drawn 4. So, I mean, it's just... And that's through 54 games as a professional club since last season. I don't know how to say it other than it's a pretty concerning stat that if you score a single goal on Nashville, you're more than likely going to get at least a point. And if you score first, you're basically guaranteed to win. So it's worrying, and I'm not sure how to fix it, but it's something that if they don't change, they're not going to be able to compete for a USL Cup this season.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I will say the one positive is that we do have a good defense, and so we're not conceding near as many goals. I mean, I think, you know, they said on the broadcast last night the stat of, like, the last time that Nashville conceded more than one goal was the Pittsburgh game, which, I mean, that's not the best. but I feel that, I mean, that's something that they can work on. I don't know if specifically last night it was fatigue. I know it was the 8th game in 23 days that Nashville had played. So, I mean, we've played a lot of soccer. But I think the overall theme of, you know, a lot of those losses did come last year when we didn't have the goal scorers. But, I mean, they're still.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it, right? Is that, like... what we failed to do last year has absolutely nothing to do with Rios and Lancaster and Belmar and King and all of these guys who we signed this year. So it's a little weird to connect all of it, in my opinion. Mm. Like the old school sports side of me is like, oh, here runs Ben with his stats again. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's clearly so true. Like it's clearly when you're almost never even getting the draw when you concede first, it's only 4 times ever and then you've lost 15 of them. It's just like, I don't know. Now, I think the answer last year is that just we didn't have goal scorers in the squad, right? So I think that probably explains away a lot of it. And maybe in the context of a full season, this isn't a story, right? Maybe in two full seasons, this goes away. But at least through, we're not even through a third of the regular season yet.
Yeah.
At least through the start of this season, it appears to be that the trend is continuing. And I think people have to be worried about that. And I guarantee you the club is looking at it and saying, okay, what do we got to do here? Who do we have to get on? I thought the subs were spot on last night. Some of them were caused by injury. It is what it is. That's the way it goes. And I don't think anything that happened last night had anything to do with Coach Smith or how he utilized his formation, how he utilized the subs, who he put on the field. I think last night came down to guys not scoring goals. When you create that many shots and only that many are on target, that says a lot. I think the XG was almost 3.5. That says a lot. We were only able to put one away. But look, that's not the case every game. I think we've seen, we've said it multiple times on this podcast, Rio scored a goal that we absolutely wouldn't have scored last year. That's a goal scorer's goal. So look, some things, there's just give and take. Some nights the breaks don't go your way and you're not going to score. I think that was just last night. It's just unfortunate that it comes in a game where, of course, we gave up the first goal, and it comes in a game where the season for that cup is now over.
Yeah, I mean, you look at last night, Nashville had 49 touches within the box. And so, I mean, it's not a case of, you know, we're not, you know, getting those, we're not getting the ball into attacking positions. And then if you look at the possession stats with where Nashville had the possession, I mean, it was in that final third, so that those chances were there. But yeah, like you said, I think it's an issue of a lot of those times, you know, Gary can't score the goals for him. So, I mean, last night, just one of the instances where, you know, things didn't go our way. You can look though at the Birmingham game specifically. That's a game we draw last year. That's not a game that we get a win against. So I mean, there's been those instances this year where we're, you know, with, you know, better chances created, with better goal scores, we are, you know, turning those what would be draws last year into wins. But there definitely is still some pause for concern with, you know, when we give up that goal. But I also think that, you know, we have a stronger bench now.
Yeah, so look, just a couple things. First of all, I think a lot of the frustration in the fan base, I think, is still honestly left over from last season when Nashville was objectively poor at finishing. I think they finished 11 or 12 under their XG, which is just pretty poor. This season, they're converting over their XG, even including a game like last night where they should have scored three or four. But, and I think even just from a stylistic standpoint and from chance creation, they've been significantly better. I mean, if you look at pretty much every home game they've had this season, they've had at least a 15-20 minute spell at the beginning of the game where they've just dominated. It probably should have scored two or three. And I think in the second game of the season at home when they lost to St. Louis, Gary Smith had that quote where he said, possession is worthless unless it's actually productive. And that just, every time Nashville loses, that gets thrown around by people who are frustrated with Gary Smith. And I think that's just a complete misuse of that, because I would argue, as much as Gary Smith has a reputation for being a defensive coach, I think for the most part this season, he set out his teams to attack, and he's put them in positions where they're dominant for at least 10 or 15 minutes, usually more than that, especially at home. And they have just had multiple moments, despite the fact that they're finishing chances better than we've ever seen them. They've still had times every game where they haven't scored when they should. And multiple times it's come back to haunt them. And so I mean, especially last night, other than going out on the field and scoring the goals himself, I'm not totally sure what Gary Smith could have done differently. I mean, maybe at times late in the game, they resort to crossing the ball too much. But other than that, I don't think he's done much wrong this season. And I think at some point we're going to have to see other players besides Daniel Rio step up and start converting some of these chances, because if it wasn't for him, Nashville would have scored 14 goals this season. So, I don't know. At some point, I think reliance on Daniel Rios to score goals is going to hurt them, and someone else on the team is going to have to step up and start finishing.
Yeah, no, look, I think you're spot on. Coming out of the bye week, so they've got, what, 10 days off here in a row now? So a nice period of rest, time for guys to clear their heads, forget about a bad result, move on. Unfortunately, that's time for fans to stew, because that's what fans like to do, is just stew, and I get that, right? But we have a fairly favorable schedule coming out of the break. It's Bethlehem, Hartford, Ottawa, and then back against Red Bulls at home. And so, look, I think those are games where we could expect to, I would think, I mean, in my opinion, win all three of those. Bethlehem and Hartford on the road should be wins, and Nash or Ottawa at home should be a win. Yeah, so
go ahead. Bethlehem on the road could be tricky. I mean, they're kind of up and down. So I think,
right.
I mean, they should be able to get the win. I think a draw wouldn't be a horrible result, but I mean, I think out of those four games you just listed, they should get three wins.
Yeah, it's still a team sitting on 10th in the standings with a -4 goal differential. So, I mean, again, a team that's expecting to compete for a USL championship should be able to go there and get a win.
Yeah, I think the only thing that could come into an issue with Bethlehem is where does Philly have any breaks and do they have any guys they need to send down? That's kind of one of the things that we know that it happens with these USL teams that are, you know, affiliated with MLS clubs, is, you know, there is always that chance that, you know, I don't have Philly's schedule right in front of me, but they could have a bye week and, you know, they could have some guys they want to, you know, send down and that need to get some minutes.
Right. I guess the next thing to note is that, yes, we have games in hand on the teams behind us. We are standing alone in second place in the Eastern Conference right now. That's with two games in hand on the Red Bulls and North Carolina FC, and St. Louis are all at 19. I mean, look, guys, for where we're at in the season and as frustrating as things have seemed, it's not like the sky is falling, right? We have an opportunity in front of us to go out and grab some positive results, which I think we will be able to do. But, Ben, I think you're nailed on that. We've got to see a healthy Cameron Lancaster who's out there ready to score. Andy always says Fox in the box. That's what we've got to see from him. I think I was so thrilled to see Belmar work on that far post and get that goal last night. I think it's huge for Rapapa to get an assist. I think Wynn had a great performance, was probably man of the match before that maybe Derek Jones before his injury, but I think Wynn had to be in conversation for man of the match. So we're seeing some of these offensive players coming to life, but we've just got to see the final product. And I think if we start seeing it from more people than Daniel Rios, the team is just going to be just fine, like you said.
And I think just having a break too. I mean, last night was their eighth game in 24 days, I believe.
Yeah.
Something close to that. So, I mean, just I think having a break and coming back just mentally and physically refreshed, I think will be a big thing for them. And also, I mean, this was a really tough start to the schedule, and I think they're going to have, I mean, not that they're any easy matchups, but they'll have definitely some games against teams who are lower in the table for sure.
Yep, I agree with you. So, look, yes, it's been a few frustrating results. Really, the worst one is the Open Cup loss. The other ones, I think, were one was a win and the other one was a draw against a good team. But we're in an okay place. There's very, very much room to go up with this roster. And the thing we didn't even touch on, really, we've seen them already starting to address roster issues. So I'm happy with it. I think we're in good shape. Frustrating loss last night, but let's stay positive. Let's stay upbeat and see this team kind of continue to grow into itself, become better. This has been Speedway Soccer Pod on the Beautiful Game Network and the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. We are brought to you by Golden Goal Press. Check them out for anything that you can need for your podcast, for your teams, for your fan group, whatever you've got. Check them out at goldengoldpress.com, roughneckscarves.com, the official supplier for USL, MLS, US soccer. Check them out for what you need as far as scarves go at roughneckscarves.com. We're at Alley Taps. Listen, we love doing this podcast. It's always fun. We are thrilled to be on 104.5 The Zone. It's just going to be exciting. It's going to help us expand our coverage to people who are new to the game, which is what this is all about. Listen, we've said this throughout the season. We're not filling up First Tennessee Park right now. We got to get more and more fans in there. next season, we're going to be at frickin' Nissan Stadium. The season after that, two seasons after that, we're going to be at our own 28,000-seater soccer stadium. We need people to listen to this thing, man. We need people to fill up that stadium, and we just want to try to get as many people to be converts as possible. Love us, hate us, whatever. Just tell people about us. Check us out at SpeedwaySoccer.com. We're going to have pieces coming out in the next few days, regardless of the bye week. We're going to be probably have some introspective stuff, looking at what we're going to be after the break, things like that, and we'll be back with a preview episode sometime at the end of next week. I think that's everything. That was a lot there at the end. But again, we're glad for you for listening. We'll be back soon. Check us out. This has been Speedway Soccer Pod.